Hello and welcome to Property Money Tree's Maximising Property Values, the once a month show where I break down the steps of how to recognise, enhance and then extract the values in property in order to create wealth. Would you like to find out how you can benefit from the steps of maximising property values? This is even if you don't own a property yet or have a deposit. If that's a yes, then you're in the right place to find out. My name is Patricia Ogunfaber, and although many know me for my work as a solicitor, on this show you will be getting the benefit of my 30 plus years worth of experience of maximising property values, experience which has given me a net worth in millions. So who might benefit from listening to this show? Literally anyone with an interest in creating property wealth. Since the last episode, we now know when the Renters' Rights Act is going to be implemented, and it's going to start on the 1st of May of 2026. Now, the government is actually implementing the Act in three different phases, which are going to start at different times. And they've told us how they are actually going to achieve this. And I was talking about this in my clubhouse room just the other day. And so I thought, well, why do it twice? So I've just taken the audio from the clubhouse room, and that is going to be the subject of this particular episode. I hope you find it useful. So I wanted to talk about implementation today because it's so important. Really important. And I think, because everyone's talking about implementation, and we know it's going to be the 1st of May, but if we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, from the 1st of June, people could have already racked up a penalty of up to £7,000. So it's really, really important. The thing about it is that, so from the 1st of May, we have to, so for existing tenancies, we have to give our tenants an information sheet, which the government is going to give to us. And if we don't give them that information sheet by the end of May, we can expect to get at some point a penalty for up to £7,000. And I think in the government's guidance of the minimums that the local, or the starting points for the local authorities, I think for this particular one, I think they're suggesting £4,000. I'll have a look in a minute. So if we literally forget to give the information sheet to our tenants, it's going to cost us plenty. So implementation, although, you know, we might think it's a while away, we need to diarise it immediately to make sure that we don't miss, you know, the main stages. And it's like I've just said, it's not just about the information, it's about what we also have to do within a certain time period. So what the government is saying is, if we've got existing tenancies with written agreements already, then we don't need to issue new tenancies. The old ones will just become assured periodic tenancies on the 1st of May automatically. We don't have to do anything about it. So that's all good. However, we still need to issue this information sheet. And what the government also, I don't know whether or not the information sheet will have it because I've not seen it. It's not available just yet. But what I don't think the government is also saying is that there are certain possession grounds where you must, within a month of implementation, let your tenant know that you might be relying on that ground in order to regain possession. And if you don't do it, again, that will be a penalty situation. And do remember, if you get two penalties within a 5-year period, that automatically becomes an offence, and that offence means that you can be fined up to £40,000. So let's just, I hope that people in this room do not think that I'm doom mongering, because that is not my intention. My intention is to let us all appreciate the heaviness of these new laws. So let us assume there's a landlord who doesn't give his tenant the information sheet. So if the landlord only has the one tenant, that is just the one penalty. If the landlord has 10 tenants, I can't even begin to work out how much that will be for that landlord, because once you hit number two, it becomes an offence, which then is up to £40,000. So I guess on the first one, it will be up to £7,000. On the second tenancy, because, and again, remember, from the 27th of December, local authorities have these wide-ranging powers, and they can ask whatever questions they want from whomsoever, and they can go into business premises with or without a warrant. So, you know, assume, oh, I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole, but say, okay, so yeah, okay, the one landlord, they're self-managing, and they've got 10. So, and they forget, or they don't know that they should be giving out this information sheet. So number one, up to 7,000. Number two, up to 40,000. Number three, up to 40,000. And so on and so forth. We cannot afford to not give out this information sheet. It is so important. It sounds just like, you know, kind of like run of the mill, but it isn't, especially if, you know, the landlord has more than one property. Now, let me now move it slightly to one side. What if the landlord doesn't self-manage and they use a managing agent, and the managing agent doesn't give out this information sheet, and the managing agent is managing, let's say, three properties for this particular landlord? So what the Renters' Rights Act does is it says the landlord is going to be ultimately responsible. So whatever, you know, mitigating factors you put to the local authority when they fine you, they're not going to cancel the fine. They're not going to do it, because they don't have the power to do it. Their duty is to enforce the legislation. And the legislation is that we must give this information sheet to our tenants. So please, I can't overemphasize the importance of this particular thing in the implementation guidelines. But again, let's go back to our landlord with the one property. So let's say the landlord has only got the one property, and they don't give the information sheet, and they are and say it's a property where they used to live there, they want to invariably move back into the property, and they don't give the notice to the tenant. So that is two. So they get the first fine, but the second one automatically opens them up to an offence, which is up to £40,000. So the one thing that they should have done, just the single thing, give the notice and say, I might be relying on ground whatever in order to get this property back, because it's somewhere where I used to live, and I might need it back for those purposes. And they don't do it. There's just 1 month is the opportunity period. Once we roll into June, that opportunity has gone forever. And the evidence is there that you either did or didn't. So again, that could be up to £40,000, which is why the implementation is so important. So Cameron says, good morning to everyone who wasn't here when I first said good morning. What information do you need to put on the information sheet to give to tenants? Okay, so we don't know yet. This is going to be, the government is actually going to tell us. They're going to provide these information sheets. So I think they said they'll have them ready for them for March next year, and then maybe we can adapt them. I don't know. I think they're going to be prescribed information documents, so we can't actually change anything in them. I think they're going to be very much like the How to Rent, So from the 1st of May, we won't now need to give out how to rents. They're going. So it really, really, really is important. But let me move on from this. That is, you know, the main thing where I thought, you know, this is something that can easily trip people up, because if we're not aware of the fact that we need to actively do something, and we think it's just a question of, oh, okay, these things are going to start happening, we can forget. So we really, really must diarize this and make sure that, you know, even if we've got a managing agent, write to them before the 1st of May to say, please let me know once you've sent the information sheet to the tenants. And it could well be you're writing to your managing agent that is going to save all of their landlord customers from being penalised and fined and them themselves. Because some agents still do not know what they are supposed to be doing and how, like, radical this new legislation is. So let's be proactive. Let's nudge them along to make sure that there's no comeback on us. And if by, I'd say if by the last Thursday in May, God preserve our lives, you've not had confirmation, please do ask me, you know, in the room, and I will be able to send you a document, and then just send the information sheet to your tenants yourself. You know, even if you have to post it first class, get a certificate of posting from the post office to prove that you've actually done it, because you might not have their email address if a managing agent is managing it for you. Better that they get two than that they don't get any at all. So please do that. So what information do we... Okay, it's the same one. So that is, yeah, truly, truly important. And also for any of the grounds that requires you to tell your tenants that you might be relying on it, in order to gain possession. If you don't do it, again, that is an automatic penalty when you go to ask for possession. So one of the grounds is ground 4A, and that's the HMO student ground. So again, you know, people who deal with students, please be aware of this. So let's go back to the implementation schedule. What the government is doing is it's implementing the Act in two phases. So the first phase is the 1st of May 2026. So from the 1st of May, we won't be able to use Section 21, serve a Section 21 notice on the tenant. And if we do, then, I'm going to go back. So JIT is saying maybe use something like signable for a proof and they can sign to acknowledge. Yes, that is a really, really good idea. But first, you'd have to have their email address. You might not have their email address. And secondly, I've had tenants where I've sent them, so on a tenancy renewal, I've sent them all the stuff using signable and they've not signed it and sent it back. Well, I'm not bothered. You know, I've not been bothered. When I see them, I say, you haven't signed it. And they go, oh, yes, I forgot. But the thing is, they're paying the new rent, which was the reason why I was sending it. And I've registered their deposit. So I kind of like feel okay. But signable in itself, people tend to just be very blasé about them unless it's for a new tenancy where they know that if they don't sign it, they're not moving in. It really is just one of those things. Section 21, won't be able to use Section 21 from the 1st of May. So please, if you do stuff for yourself, do not even attempt to issue a Section 21 to your tenant. No. It will cost you a pretty penny. So don't do that. Section 21 out of the window. We need to reset how we think about
the PRS and about our landlord and tenant relationships, it honestly requires a fundamental rethink. So the things that we do now that we just do automatically, we need to stop and say no. Everything that we might do from the 1st of May, if we're going to do it, we need to literally just stop ourselves and say, okay, is this going to be all right? You know, we now have a new regime. Can I do this? Because if we ask ourselves that, we're very unlikely to get tripped up. Now, on that point as well, like we can't issue Section 21 notices, we must not orally ask a tenant to leave. So the only way to ask a tenant to leave is to use the Section 8 procedure, and there are going to be prescribed forms for us to use. Once we've served the form on the tenant, we can then talk to them about it, as long as we're not putting undue pressure on them, because undue pressure is going to be, I suspect, considered to be harassment under the Eviction Act. So let's not do that. So we need to be fully aware of our duties under the Renters Rights Act. There's, you know, it's now law, and we must comply. And I'm sure we will. We will get along. We'll get through it. And, you know, I will continue. If I hear things, I'll continue to share with us in this room, so that we can better prepare ourselves. Right. So as we know, from the 1st of May, assured periodic tenancies are going to come into effect. So another thing that we must not do is, if we're taking on a tenancy, a new tenancy, we mustn't try to say to them it's going to be for a fixed term, and we mustn't say to them it's going to be from, let's say, the 1st of March until the 1st of June, because that is a fixed term. We must not say this. There mustn't be an end date specified in the tenancy agreement. So you can have, obviously, the start date. That is actually going to be required for there to be a proper tenancy, but you must not have an end date. Again, this is really, really, really important, because if you do, penalty. The possession grounds are going to change, but we've already been through them, so I'm not going to go do that again. Then rent increases, so that will be limited to once a year. We have to, so we're going to be using the Section 13 procedure, and apparently the form that we use at the moment is called a Form 4, but the new form is going to be called a Form 4A. So all of this information is trickling down, and that is all very, very good. But, you know, this is how we kind of like know what is going to be done. But and we can't use it within the first 12 months of a tenancy. So literally everyone who is in the room should by now have looked at their tenancies, should have looked at their rents. Honestly, you see, my view on the rents is, it's just going to be so much hassle. And I personally, I, because my rents are very market rate at the moment, so that's all good. And the market, actually, I think, is going down. It's on a downward trend. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be looking to increase rents using the Form 4A. And also, there are certain risks involved in trying to increase the rent. So apart from the fact that the tenant could take you to tribunal, which is the main thing, and again, we mustn't be talking to them about an increase in rent before serving this form on them. After we've served the form, we can talk to them, but obviously politely. It's best to, I'm honestly thinking oral conversations should become a thing of the past. The government wants us to professionalise. I think they just want systems. And our mindset has to change. And a lot of landlords, especially, you know, small individual landlords like us in the room, we think, oh, do you know, our tenants, they're, and we value them, which is great. And we think we just want to kind of like just be that local landlord to them. But I don't know that is actually going to work going forward. Obviously, you know, it's not going to be all tenants and all tenancies, but I think we need to have a consistent approach. And what we do for one, we must do, you know, for the other. And I think systems probably is the best way forward. So if there are any issues, then that can be immediately flagged and there's an audit trail, as opposed to, oh, I said, she said, I didn't hear, didn't ring me, oh no, but I did. Because you see, the local authorities want to believe that we're no good. And so, and even if we're able to prove that that conversation didn't happen or what the tenant said didn't actually take place, that is still time and energy that is going to be wasted. If we have systems, we just say, no, you know, this is our system. Anything, all tenants know to log, you know, any issues, any concerns, you know, on this platform or wherever it is that we decide we're going to use. And if they've not logged something, then it didn't happen. Now, please, somebody who's really, really good, can you, so just bear with me for a second. Okay, go on. So can somebody remind me that I'm doing implementation, because someone sent me something on, and I'll just read it out to you guys. This is what we're facing. So let's go to LinkedIn. So they've come up with a product for tenants. And where is it? Let me find it. And so here we are. It's called Meet. Actually, I won't say what it's called, but I'll tell you what it does. So this particular app, and they are building it right now. So it says, hey, did you know most landlords use smart software to manage their properties? These tools help them cut costs and push rents up to maximize profits. But what about you, the renter? Until now, there hasn't been anything for tenants. Hi, I'm the world's first AI-powered tenant advocate. I'm here to help you navigate your landlord relationship. Starting 1 May 2026, the Renters' Rights Act will shape up the English rental market. You'll gain new powers to challenge unfair practices. My mission is to help you tackle rogue landlords. I can help you. And then there's a few bullet points. Secure a fairer rent. Coordinate repairs and escalate issues. Monitor rent increases to ensure the best deal. Understand your rights. Want to be the first in line? Register your interest. Now, another thing that they'd actually put there was they'll help them get rent payments. So just be absolutely aware. Absolutely aware that this is our new reality. Completely. So I'm just trying to, there is a troll who's been in the room. I don't know if they've got nothing better to do with their time, but one just has to deal with them every now and again. So back to, just bear with me for a second. Let me just, done. So back to the implementation. So this is AI, which is going to be apparently, and it will track the landlord. It will make sure that they've got their licenses in place. It will do all of that. So there's nowhere to hide for landlords right now. Everyone needs to be, you know, on top of their game. Right, so I was, where was I? Renting pieces. Right, ban rental bidding and rent in advance. So I'm back to implementation. This is from the 1st of May. So rental bidding, I think we all know that we can't now do that. If we advertise a property to rent, we must put a price in there and we must not accept a higher price. I think that's easy to understand. Rent in advance is a bit more nuanced. So rent in advance, we can't accept rent in advance, except for where, okay, actually that's not really rent in advance. So for exist, okay, that's slightly different. So if we are taking on a new tenancy after the 1st of May, we can take the holding deposit and we can take a deposit. So that'll be the 5 weeks rent. But we must not take the month in advance that we normally take. We must not until the tenancy agreement has been signed. So once it's been signed, then we can take a maximum of a month's rent, and that will include the 1 week's holding deposit that we may have previously obtained. So please do think about that. Now, what is also important here is for people who marry up their tenancy dates. So if you want it from the 1st of May or the 1st of the month, that is a bit of an issue. And I know that people are talking to the ministry at the moment to see if something can be done, but I don't think anything can be done. I've seen correspondence and they're not budging on it. And, you know, effectively what they're saying is, if you want to marry up, then you have to receive less than a month's rent in order to get your dates to align. And I'm not sure that most landlords are going to be happy with that. Because that's what that is. We each need to decide what we want to do. Then they're going, so from the 1st of May, from the 1st of May, the law makes it illegal to discriminate against renters who have children or who receive benefits. So again, we must not discriminate. And so again, people need to be aware of this. So we can't say no children. Now, discrimination is where I really should actually read it, but no, I'm just going to say it from how I understand it. Discrimination is where you do something that negatively impacts a person or a sector of people, and you don't have a good reason for doing it. So I, for instance, I use a lot of glass in the stuff that I do. So I have glass desks and shelves and stuff. It's all toughened glass, so if it breaks, it won't cut anyone. It will just shatter into small pieces. However, you know, the corners are square. I guess you can put corner blockers on them. But, you know, the glass being there it's not a place that's suitable for children. It really is just that simple. And also, I don't do houses anyway. I don't rent out houses, you know, on block. I do flats and I do HMOs. So in an HMO, if somebody came to me and said, in fact, I had a lady the other day, and she said, oh, this will be so nice for me and my child. And I said, oh, I really am sorry. No, it won't be suitable for you and your child. Now, after Renters' Rights Act, she might decide that I've discriminated against her on this basis. But yes, whilst the HMO is not suitable for people with children, I have a reason for saying it's not suitable for people with children. And the reason is the licensing conditions say that it can only be each room, each unit can only be occupied by one person. So if it can only be occupied by one person and a child moves in, that is two people. You can't follow one law and break another. And also, yeah, it will be overcrowding. So I think, you know, we're going to be okay on that. But you can't say if you've got a two-bedroom house, you've got a two-bedroom house and somebody comes with their children, say they've got just got the one child, and you say, oh, no, I don't really want children. I just want two adults sharing or a couple. That would be discrimination. If they come with eight children, I think you can quite, you know, properly say, I'm sorry, this house is not going to be suitable for you, because there will be overcrowding. And also the government actually has guidelines as to how many people should be occupying certain rooms and properties. So I think, you know, we'll be okay there. But the bottom line is that we mustn't be thinking no children, you know, blanket no children, no. But if there's a reason as to why we can't have children, then that will be, that should be okay. So we've got that coming from the 1st of May, and we've also got the benefits thing. So now with the benefits, I don't know if people are aware, but the ground for possession, if a tenant doesn't pay rent, so that we've got two based on rent, and they're there right now, and they're going to carry forward, you know, post 1st of May. And the first one is what we used to call serious rent arrears, which was, so at the moment is 2 months rent hasn't been paid, and then we have 2 weeks notice that we're going to go to court. The second one is persistent, actually there are three of them, persistent late rents, and then there's another one which is like, rent is due, but it's not of the serious rent category. So going forward, let me just talk about the serious rent. So the serious rent is going from 2 months to 3 months, and the notice period is going up from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. So I think we all know that already. But regarding the, so you can't serve a notice, you can't serve a valid notice if until there's 3 months on. So let's start thinking Renters' Rights Act period. So after the 1st of May, you can't serve a valid notice until 3 months rent is owing. So 3 months rent, if that is owing, then you can serve the notice. And also, there must be a minimum of 3 months rent owing at the time that you go to court. I think most people are aware of that, but at the moment it's 2 months and not 3 months. Now, what the Renters Rights Act also says is that if the tenant has applied for a housing element as part of their universal credit and that remains unpaid, the unpaid amount cannot be used in tallying up how much is owed. So if the rent, for example, is £1,000 and Universal Credit is going to pay all of that, you will, okay, if they haven't paid it, then you can never use the serious rent arrears ground, because the rent owing is always going to be nil. So even if they, so if the Universal Credit doesn't pay for 8 months, so that is £8,000 worth of rent unpaid. For the purposes of the notice, it will be £8,000 less what is unpaid by Universal Credit, which is £8,000, balance nil. You can't, you won't be able to serve a valid notice. So just be aware of that is all I'm going to say on that point. Right, what else? Right, then also from the 1st of May, landlords will have to require tenant requests to rent with a pet. Again, we've done this a lot over the weeks, so that will be, that should be, you know, fairly clear to most people. We have 28 days within which to consider the request. If we miss the 28 days, the pet goes in, end of. And somebody was talking, I can't remember when I saw it, something about a Rottweiler. And what do you do? And oh yes, I remember now. I remember where it was. Right, okay. Then the next thing is, from the 1st of May, strengthen both local council enforcement and rent repayment orders. So rent repayment orders, they, from the 1st of May, they will move from 12 months, which they are now, to 2 years. The second phase of things is going to be the database and the landlord ombudsman. So the database is not going to come into effect until late next year. So that is 2026. Talking to my friend who runs the independent landlord .com and the hub, the related hub to that, we think that it might not come in until early 2027, but we don't know. The government says it's going to roll the database out on a regional basis at first, and then later on it will make it national. And I wonder which regions are going to be picked to be the guinea pigs. Probably London. So that is coming in. So that is something that we don't need to be fussing about right now, because that's not for another year. And then, but we need to, in the meantime, make sure that all of our documents are in place. So gas safety, EICR, you know, deposit staff, all of that. So we are actually being given enough warning for that. And then the ombudsman. So the ombudsman is effectively a venue for tenants to be able to complain about their landlords. They say it's a resolution thing, but you know, anyway, we'll just have to wait and see. But also what they're saying is, once the ombudsman has been chosen, they will then have 12 to 18 months within which to get it up and running. So again, this is something for the medium term as opposed to the short term. Then we also have, you know, the third phase is going to be of implementation of the Renters' Rights Act, is going to be the Decent Home Standards and the and AWAB's law. So Decent Home Standards, the government has already said that is not going to come in before 2035. So that is very long term. So again, I don't think that there's anything that we need to be concerned about regarding that right now. We've got enough on our plates, so we just need to just focus on what is you know, imminent. Then the government is also looking to increase the minimum standards for EPCs to a C. And that is by 2030. So again, that is medium term. That's not for another 5 years. However, what is important, I think, is that the means of deciding how an EPC is worked out is being changed from next year. So what I did, I think it was last month, is all of my EPCs, I renewed them for another 10 years, irrespective of how long they still had to go. Because I thought I'd really rather not be worrying about EPCs for now. And all of my EPCs are Cs anyway, Cs, and I've got one B. Didn't know how that happened, but you know, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I did that in order to not have to be worrying about EPCs. You know, and I would encourage anyone who's got a C or above. So what I did was I spoke to my EPC person and I said, well, look, I want to renew my EPCs. He's going, well, why do you want to? They've still got, you know, in one case, we still have 5 years. He said, oh, you know, you don't need to. So I said, look, I'd like to, because of the new standards that are coming in. I don't want to be judged under them. So he goes, oh, what if you don't now get an EPCC? I said, well, that is why I'm talking to you. I need a C. You know, they're C's at the moment and I need them to stay C's going forward. So he said he'll check. So he did some calculations and came back and said, yeah, everything's absolutely fine. Yeah, they will still qualify as C's. So I just renewed all of them. So that has given me like a 10-year, you know, breathing space. So I honestly would encourage you, if you've got EPC Cs already, and they are coming up to the your certificate is coming up to its expiry date, I honestly would encourage you to speak to the person who did the original assessment and say, look, you assessed, you know, this property in whenever it was, and it's got a C. I'm thinking about renewing. If I were to renew, do you think I'd also get a C? Because I need to get a C, and I'd like to renew, but only if I'm going to get a C. So, you know, just, and if they say you're not going to get a C, then ask them, you know, if it's going to be expensive for you to do whatever remedial stuff you might need to do in order to get a C. Or you might decide that, look, do you know what, I'm done, I'm just going to sell it. You could do that, you know, it will be entirely up to you. But in order to just take one more problem off your plate, I would encourage people to go renew their good EPC certificate. So that is if you're already a C or above. Then the housing health and safety rating system, so that is the HHSRS, that is where we've got category one hazards and two hazards and all whatnot, and how the local authorities actually work out, you know, what is what. That is also being reviewed. So, and that is part of phase three. But again, we don't need to really concern ourselves too much about that. And again, as part of phase three, ARUB's law is going to be introduced to the private rented sector. And what ARUB's law is, just to refresh people's memories, is, you know, where the little boy died because he was breathing in spores from black mold in his social housing flat that he occupied with his parents. So ARUB's law is more to do with mold. And if a tenant reports mold, there will be strict times within which to actually deal with it. So that already applies to the social rented sector, but not to the private rented sector. But that's going to come in phase three. Now, you know, the point here, though, is that even though that's not going to come in until phase three, I think we should be very proactive where there is mold, because even though AWAB's law doesn't apply to the private rented sector at the moment, if there is mold, mold is dangerous. If a tenant goes to the local authority and says there's mold in the property that I'm renting, you can still be done under, you know, other legislation. So in terms of ARUB's law, I would say, please, 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 even though it's phase three, do not consider it to be phase three. Be very proactive about it and consider it to be like imminent, like today. If we've got mold, let's tackle it. And I keep saying to everyone, I don't know about mold in rooms, but mold in bathrooms. So you can have mold growing on grout, you can have it growing on the silicon and stuff. There is, and I don't have any shares whatsoever in this company, but I have found it to be phenomenal. Dettol mold and mildew remover. It really, really works. You spray the mold. You might have to do it a number of times, but I've never known it to not kill the mold. So you have, you know, the black mold all over. And usually I see this when a tenant moves out. Sometimes if they've not been cleaning their shower properly, then there's mold growing on the silicon and the sealant in the bathroom. And I literally just spray it. Sometimes just two sprays and it's gone. And for other people, I'm spraying maybe like, you know, four or five times, because the mold has really gone deep into the silicone. And what I've also done with, so sometimes when I've gone to deal with a maintenance issue in a bathroom, if I see mold there, I just tell the tenant about this product, and I give them their first bottle for free. But what I think I'm going to start doing is I will be giving them, with each new tenancy, I will be giving them a bottle, and I will be renewing those bottles every year. Because you don't need to use very much of it. You just squirt the, and I buy the 750 mil ones. You just squirt the area that is discoloured. And it honestly just sorts it out.
So, till next month. And in the interim, we're going to have Christmas. So, Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you have a good one. And a Happy New Year too. So, the next episode will land on the 1st of January, night at 2026. Happy New Year as well.